Well, praise the Lord. So the last few weeks, Pastor's been talking about simplicity, or he started this last week about simplicity in your life, and he mentioned a new phrase last week, and it was called FOMO. How many were here last week? You remember hearing him say FOMO, and you didn't know what he was talking about, but what that stands for is a fear of missing out, and we have those moments in our lives where we feel like we're going to miss out if we don't get to do something particular, or we see somebody else doing something. We're like, well, maybe that's what I need. And sometimes we have these fears, these fears of missing out. And this week, I started a series with the students called Fighting FOMO. Fighting against the fear of missing out, that you don't have to fear that you're going to miss out on something. You can embrace and commit where you're at and with what you have. And what we talked about this week with the students was Adam and Eve, and how in the beginning of the Bible, they were the very first people that had to face FOMO. They faced the fear of missing out. And they had everything that they needed. They had it all. They got to walk with God. They got to spend all day with God. They had all the food that they needed, all the blessings. They didn't have to work. How many are like, oh, that'd be amazing? Not to work, not have to do anything, just get to spend time with God all day long. They had it all. But there was one area of the garden where God said, no. You know, don't go to this, don't eat of the fruit from this tree. It was one place, one area. And the enemy came, as he does, to all our lives. And he told them, well, you're going to be missing out. You know, God's keeping something from you. You're going to miss out. And so we talked about that with the students and how, you know, we have this feeling of that we're going to be missing out on something. But today, I want to focus on fighting. Fighting and staying committed to be content with where God has placed you in your life today. Where you're at in this moment, that we would fight to stay committed, that we would fight and be content with what God is giving us. And I'm not talking about, you know, well, there was a fight last night, wasn't there? Some huge boxing match. I don't know if anybody even heard about it. Merriweather and McGregor, you know. Of course, the boxer won because it was boxing, right? But, you know, I'm not talking about that kind of fighting, you know. Like, we're not going to be throwing punches at each other. You know, don't look at your spouse and with a clenched fist. None of that, you know. But fighting in a spiritual sense, that we need to step up and we need to fight. Fight to be committed. Fight to be content with where we're at and where we are today. And we're going to go to 2 Samuel 23. And we're going to read about David's mighty men. He had three main dudes at the top of his list. And I'm going to share what 2 Samuel 23 says. It should be on the screen if you want to follow along. It says, these are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Bathsheba, the Techmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino, the Eznite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. Oh my goodness. Verse 9, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ohittite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines, who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. Verse 10, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Herite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Those three men did some amazing, impossible things. But was it the men who did it? The scripture specifically says that the Lord brought about a great victory. God was the one who did the amazing thing. And so there's 3 points today, if you're taking notes, that we're going to hit on today. The first one is impossible with man is possible with God. Second thing is swing until it sticks. Third thing is where you're at is worth fighting for. These three areas we're going to hit on today. The first one is impossible to man is possible with God. You've got Josheb Bashbeth. I cannot say his last name. Anybody have a last name that no one can say? It seems like they struggle every time they say it. You know, it's like that the baseball players whose name goes like this on their back of their jerseys. But he killed 800 men at one time. It is impossible with man. With a man, it is impossible. But with God, it's not impossible. You know, right after Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler in the Bible, you can look it up in Mark. I can't remember the chapter. It just fled my brain. But in Mark 27, right after he talks to the rich young ruler, see, this rich young ruler came to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? What must I do to get to heaven?" And Jesus said, you know, you honor your parents, you know, you do, you know, all these things. And he's like, "Yes, I've committed to those commandments. I followed your commandments." Okay, there's one more thing you lack. And Jesus told him, "Sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me." This guy was very wealthy. His response to Jesus was he was sad because of his great wealth and turned away. And right after that, Jesus says this line, which we've heard many times. In verse 27, it says, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible.'" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Think of that. This man who went up against 800 men by himself, it is impossible. He could not do it. That task alone was not capable of completing. But with God, there was a great victory. And see, what was it that this man had? What was it that this guy whose name I have a hard time saying, what did he have? He was committed. He was committed. He was content with where he was in life. He loved where he was. And he didn't face FOMO. He wasn't afraid of missing out. They had no fear to face 800 men at one time. But he was committed. And the second thing this morning is swing until it sticks. Now, the second mighty man that they talk about was Eleazar. And he attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. That's how much he fought. He fought and he fought and he was with David. Everybody else abandoned. Everybody else left. But he stayed and he fought. And it says at the end that the Lord brought about a great victory. Now what Eleazar did is he stayed committed. He kept swinging. He kept swinging the sword until his hand was stuck to it, till he was so tired, he was weary, but he kept swinging. And I feel like that in our lives as Christians. We get to a place where we just drop the sword and we walk away because it seems too difficult. We leave where God wants us to be committed. We leave where God wants us to be content. And we drop our sword, we walk away. You don't even have to raise your hand, but I have a guarantee because I know in my life there's been times where I've kind of walked away from God. He's not really been in the forefront of my mind. I've missed out because of FOMO, fear of missing out, or because I got distracted, or because I wanted something for myself. And we drop the sword. We move. We walk away. We're like the other people of the children of Israel who fled. They left. They ran away when the Philistines came. But not Eleazar. He stayed with David. And they fought and fought and fought. The third thing this morning, where you're at in this moment, church, think of your moment. Close your life, or your eyes, not your life. Close your eyes and think of the moment you're in today. Where are you at in life? Some of you are retired. Some of you are working a job. Some of you are kids. Some of you are in high school, maybe. Some of you or just had a baby, or you know, you got married, or you're in this moment. Where are you at? And keep your eyes closed and think of that phrase. Where you're at is worth fighting for. No matter what's going on. You can open your eyes this morning. See, Shema was the next mighty man. He defended the lentils, even when everyone else abandoned it. Shema defended a field of peas. How many can't stand peas? You don't eat them. They're not fun. They're not, you know, your parents made you eat peas when you were a kid. He defended something that some of us would say, not worth it. That field of peas is not worth my time. And he, you see, Shema, he stayed. Everybody else fled. Everybody else abandoned him. But the scripture says that he stood in the middle of that field of lentils and defended it. And it said that the Lord brought about a great victory that day. Why? Because he was committed to that field. He was committed to what God had, where God had placed him in that field. Some of us, no, that's not what I want. You know, we want something else. And sometimes I was thinking about this scripture. I've been in that place where I didn't really like my job all together. Anybody with me? You're just like, oh, I don't want to be at this. I want to get a different job. I want to work somewhere else. You know, and you're in this field of lentils, pretend you're here, and you look over on the other side of the fence, and you see somebody else's field. And they got some nice tomatoes. And you look at those tomatoes and you're like, and I've got peas? And there's tomatoes over there? How many love tomatoes? Not Alaska tomatoes. I'm talking about lower 48 tomatoes. You know, you look over and you get a little jealous, and sometimes you just leave your field for a moment and you just go and sit on the fence post and just admire what everyone else has. Oh, I wish I could have that. My life would be so much better if I had tomatoes. In our lives, we get like that sometimes. We feel like where we're at, I don't want to be here anymore. I've said that. Sometimes I don't want to be, you know, what I'm doing, you know, where God has called me to as a pastor. I get weary sometimes. Get tired of it. You know, the children at home, you just want to wring their little necks. Being a dad sometimes, it's like, oh. Don't tell me you haven't felt that. But see, Shema, he was committed. You think of Eleazar and Josabeth. All these guys were committed, and they were content with where they were in that moment where God had placed them. And when you're content and when you're committed where you're at, God will bring about the victory. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't try to lean on your own abilities, because with man it is impossible. It is impossible to defend this place that you're in. committed to be content. Didn't matter what anyone else did, because if you think of these mighty men, they stood their ground. But everybody else left. How many of them were like, come on, Shema, get out of there. They're just peas. He didn't listen to anybody else. He listened to what God had called him to do. That's what he trusted in, was God. He wasn't afraid of missing out. You see, these three mighty men, they had a firsthand faith. Their faith with God was based on their relationship with him directly. They had a connection with God directly. They built their relationship with God. They, you know, what the others did when they retreated or when they fled, they had what I like to call secondhand salvation. They were uncommitted. When they fled, oh, I'm done. Something, opposition's coming, I'm leaving. They had what I call secondhand salvation. And an example with this would be like, I go to church because my family or my friends go to church. Or I read my Bible because it's Sunday morning and the scriptures are on the screen. I like to call it, I've told this to the students, regurgitated scriptures. You guys ever seen a mama bird feed a baby bird? It's gross. The mama bird will regurgitate what she has eaten and feed her babies. There you go. And sometimes we get like that in our lives where we are basing our salvation and our walk with God based on a pastor or a parent, somebody else in your life, that you go to them before you go to God. And you're getting regurgitated scriptures, regurgitated messages that are somewhat tainted because it's been through a human being who's not perfect. You know, sometimes you even can gain offenses that way because you don't go directly to God with your concern. You go to a friend. Offenses build up. Oh, that's a whole nother sermon. But you get these regurgitated messages. You don't go directly to the Bible yourself. You know, if you ask yourself, when was the last time you picked up your Bible or your phone, the app, if that's fine, you know, and actually just picked it up, no intention, just to read it. See, the Bible in Ephesians 6:17, it says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. This is what we use to fight. This is what we use to fight our battles. It's not what somebody else tells us. It's what God is telling us in the Word. And if you're not picking that up on your own and not reading it, you're going to struggle and you're going to want to just flee or abandon the field that you're in, that life. You're going to want to give up. But God gives you the tools to fight. He calls the Word of God a sword for a reason. And if you're a Christian because of someone else, you will run when you face a battle you cannot win. Makes sense. I can't win this. I'm done. Believing God will bring about a victory even when it doesn't seem possible. Even when the odds are stacked against you. The enemy comes. When your struggle comes, your addiction, your hurt, your pain, a sin, doubt, all these things, when they come, when you have to face them yourself, it's going to be impossible without God. You will not have victory without him. He's the one who will give you your victory. You see, Eleazar kept swinging. I want to ask you this morning, what victory do you need this morning? See, Eleazar, he kept swinging his sword. And the scripture says that he swung it so much that he became weary. And his hand was stuck to it. He was committed to the end. Didn't matter how many people ran, how many people fled, Eleazar was committed to fight. Now, I don't want you to go out and buy yourself a sword, okay, and walk around town with your sword and say, I'm committed, watch out, and you keep swinging your sword. This is a metaphor. Well, like I said, the Word of God, the Scripture says that this is the sword of the Spirit. This is what you pick up to fight your battles. This is what's going to help you win when you face difficult circumstances in the field that you're standing in. As you swing that sword, you pick it up and you swing until you can't swing anymore. So what victory do you need this morning? Maybe you need some victory in your marriage. How much are you going to swing? Or are you just going to drop it and leave it? Or are you going to keep swinging? I love my wife. I love my husband. I'm committed to them since the day we got married. I will never, ever stop loving them. How much are you committed? How much are you willing to fight for your marriage? Maybe your family. I'm committed to them, to love my son or love my daughter no matter what. No matter how many times I want to just wring their little necks and smack them around. Maybe even your parents. If you think of your parents, you know, I love my mom and dad, but sometimes I don't agree with their choices, but I still love them, right? And I keep swinging my sword no matter what. No matter what I face, I'm going to keep swinging and keep swinging and keep swinging. Maybe it's your job. You don't like your job. You're in your job, and you want a different job. I'm waiting for a better job. You can't keep a job very long because you don't like where you're at. Well, God has placed you in that field for a purpose and a reason. You have that job right now to help provide financially, but there's something in the midst of that field, in the midst of that job. It might feel like peas. It might feel like a job that is not worth fighting for, not worth swinging for, but you're going to do it because that's where God has placed you. And it might seem impossible for you. You might seem impossible to be happy in your job. Well, with God, all things are possible. And He can create a great victory in your life through your job, no matter what. Maybe your finances, you're struggling with your finances. You're having a hard time. Oh, I just want to give up and stop trying to save for my future. Let's go buy myself a red sports car because I'm feeling depressed. Well, go buy a sword. But I was thinking about this message today, and I was thinking about these three mighty men, and Eleazar mainly. He was committed so strongly. No matter what, he kept swinging his sword like this. Oppositions came. Difficult things came. His family was frustrating him. His marriage was on the rocks. Things were getting difficult. His job. But he kept swinging. He didn't stop swinging until the very end when God brought about a victory. And I don't know what you need a victory in your life. Maybe there's something. Maybe it's some addiction that's in your life. And you give up, you give in so easily when the temptation comes. And I'll tell you this, you've been standing in your field without your sword. And every time you're in your field and you don't have a sword, and you're standing there and your temptation comes, and you're in that field and you're in that moment, when it comes, you will lose without the Word of God in your life. You're wondering what it is. Why do I keep struggling? Why do I not enjoy life right now? When was the last time you picked up your word? Did you forget your Bible? Did you forget to read the scriptures? Because it is the sword of the Spirit. That is what it is to fight, to advance in your life, to be happy, be content, to be committed. You need a sword. You need the word of God to fight. Let's close our eyes this morning. You say, Pastor Mike, there are some areas, there are some fields that I feel vulnerable. I feel weak. I feel like this field that I'm in, this place that I'm in right now is not worth fighting for. The numbers are against me. I feel that there is no victory could ever happen in my life. I'm never going to be happy. Understand something, church. Your faith just needs to be a little bit. God will give you all that you need if you trust in Him. Your faith that might be small right now will grow as you're committed and content with where you're at. I was thinking of some of you who are in physical pain. It's like, why am I dealing with this pain? I'm tired of it. It wears me down. Know this, that God is with you. To be committed and content in the place that you're in, even if it's physically hurting you and your pain, and know that God will bring about a victory if you keep swinging. Keep praying, and you keep asking, and you keep seeking. The Bible talks about it in Matthew. If you knock, and if you ask and you seek, the door will be open. Keep on swinging. No matter how hard it gets, no matter when doubt comes your way, if you have your word of God and you have that with you, your sword of the Spirit, you can keep swinging. God will bring about a victory. And in His timing, He will bring that victory. And oh, will it be great. Jesus, I pray for all of us today, even myself, Lord, that I would be committed to You. Committed to the cause, committed and being content with where I am and happy with my life because You are with me. And that You've given me the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit to help me to fight when the enemy comes, to fight when temptation comes, that I can pick up my Word of God and I can fight against it and I can keep swinging no matter what. I will swing until it sticks. Continue to swing until it sticks in my life and I can be strong and know that You are with me. And I want to share a scripture with you. This is Paul speaking to Timothy in 6, verse 20 and 21. It says this, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Listen to that. Guard what was committed to your trust. Avoiding the profane and idle babblings. Other word for that would be empty chatter. Got some chattery friends? Some people in your life that like to try to tell you what you need to be doing. Avoiding those things and any contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge by professing it. Some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Some have strayed concerning the faith. I have lots of friends, lots of family that have strayed concerning the faith. Maybe you do. Maybe there's someone in your life that has strayed concerning the faith. And you've been praying for them. It's like, oh, it's been hard for you. They weren't committed. They missed it. They fell away. Maybe you're here this morning and you have strayed concerning the faith. God is asking you to be more committed to the thing that He's put you in, the place that He has placed you. When you stay committed, Jesus brings a great victory, people. He brings the victory. No matter how difficult it might feel and how frustrating life might get, He brings the victory. As long as we are committed and we trust Him. Lean not on your own understandings and acknowledge all His ways, and He will direct your paths. He brings about a great victory. Last scripture I want to share is encouraging. I love this scripture. It's so helpful for me. Highlight it in your Bible. Ephesians 3:16-19. It says, I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. He has unlimited resources. He has everything you need. Be content with where you're at, with what God has given you.